Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
This is a true story.
I don't know how you're going to rebound and tell a story that you just...
It's in the same vein. It's okay. My dad told us for 2 years leading up to his death that he was working with Jim Carrey. He was going to make a comeback tour on comedy. And so my dad was doing, like, helping him write, like, parody songs, because my dad used to be a stand-up comedian back in the day. And so for 2 years. And we were kind of like, oh, yeah, sure, of course. And my mom was like, no, I drive him to Ashland. There's like a private plane that comes in. They go to the hotel room. They write. And I was like, all right, what else am I going to find out of my dad here at the end? Yeah. But anyways, so my sister got into my dad's email to, like, email everyone that he had passed away that we didn't have the phone numbers of. Mm-hmm. One of them was Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
And so the Jim Carrey responded almost immediately, can I come to your dad's, you know, funeral? Your dad, I really made an impact on me, and I really, really loved getting to know him, and he talked so much about you guys. Can I come and say my respects?
Yeah, that's nice.
And so we were like, well, of course you can. And so we obviously were there for the calling hours, and Jim Carrey walks up to me. And it was the most mind-bending thing in the world.
Actual Jim Carrey. In my mind, I always thought that it was going to be like a different Jim Carrey. That's the real Jim Carrey.
It was a Jim Carrey. It just wasn't the Jim Carrey.
That's what I thought. Okay.
It was like three rungs down the Jim Carrey. And he was such a nice guy, by the way.
What was the look on your face? Were you just so disappointed?
My sister and I both had you-know-what-eating grins.
What happened to the private plane and then all this different...
Because he really did. He's like a cruise comedian. He actually makes a butt ton of money. Okay. He's a successful comedian. He's just not that...
Jim Carrey.
The thing is, and I kind of explained it to him, and and I said, am I okay to tell the story at the funeral? And he was like, yeah. As I was giving my dad the eulogy, I was talking about my dad being a prankster and all this other stuff. And I start telling the story, and everybody's smiling. Except Jim Carrey.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's been the butt of the joke for so many years.
He thought it was really funny when it was just me and him.
Yeah.
But when everybody else was laughing, this Jim Carrey, and I've never heard from Jim Carrey again.
You're a comedian.
Yeah, no.
Take it the way a comedian should.
No.
You're a funny guy.
No.
Laughs are part of what you do.
They are artistic and sensitive people too. But yeah, so yeah,
well,
my dad.
That is like the big thing that always got him, right? Like, so, I mean, he knows when he dies, it's going to be Jim Carrey, comedian, dies. And a lot of people are like, whoa!
Oh, we're going to get a lot of the Denzel gifts. Like, oh, but it's not that Jim Carrey.
But it's not that Jim Carrey.
Glad we're still doing that bit. But yeah, that was one of the things. That was one of, like, the long-term bits that happened. And we found out after my dad died that it wasn't the Jim Carrey.
Yeah, he's not his man, at least.
That's a great bit.
He did. He worked with Jim Carrey.
It was a great bit.
I put that on resumes. Worked with Jim Carrey in writing comedy stuff. And so make them call you a liar.
Yeah. Hmm. Maybe if he would have done that, he'd still be here.
I doubt that.
Ouch.
Neither here nor there.
Ouch. How dare you write my dad off? He's already gone.
Comedy laughs weren't saving him, Nick.
We need 10 cc's of laugh. It's the only thing that'll cure his neurological needs.
Call the real Jim Carrey. We have a chance.
All right, let's get to quick hits. All right, Cavs and LeBron's Cavs and LeBron. There's only one LeBron. Face off tonight in LA.
Oh, there's going to be a story somewhere where someone is like, I play ball with LeBron. Not that LeBron.
With a 9 p.m. tip, LeBron was asked about his future and gave a bold proclamation.
Your thoughts about the end increased as you've gotten older, and I guess. Like, what is sort of your current relationship with potential retirement at some point? Like,
It's very good. It's very good.
What will it be that tells you it's enough?
It won't be because I can't play this game at a high level. Because, to be honest, if I really wanted to, I could probably play this game at a high level. Probably about another, weird that I might say, probably about another 5 to 7 years if I wanted to. But I'm not going to do that.
All right, as with everything LeBron, because sometimes LeBron does speak in hyperbole, it doesn't mean he's being dishonest. The question here becomes, do you really think LeBron could play another 5 years, as a 5 to 7 years, as a starter if he wanted to?
Yeah, he could. He, you know, he's worked a lot. His three-point game is much better than it used to be. He's, like, put a real emphasis on the shot. And your shot doesn't leave you, really. Now, he can't get to the basket the way that he used to, so that would be problematic. His legs will give out. It always does. But the amount of time he spends on his body and attention to detail on his body, yeah, I think he could if he wanted to.
Man, I really struggle with this. Here's the thing. Because I don't think he could do another 5 postseasons. But regular season, yeah. LeBron could be Babe Ruth. LeBron could just go out there. He'd get his 20 points in. He'd play 28 minutes. And his team probably wouldn't win, but LeBron could be a starter on that kind of team for the next 5 years, unquestionably.
Yeah, we just don't want it for you, LeBron.
Yeah.
Be
and
done.
He doesn't want to. He just wants you to know he could.
Well,
that's where LeBron is, yeah.
It's classic LeBron.
Omaha!
Oh, we have good news for the Gentites, and with Ashton Gentry in full display tonight, by the way. Mel Kiper has come out with his NFL draft preview and his draft guide, and in there, there's a little nugget right behind the Ashton Gentry conversation.
Mm. Call
the Browns might be a fit for Gentry. Even though they have bigger issues, Nick Chubb will be a free agent. And with that broken foot, the Browns might be in play.
Why? Why would an analytically based team
to be
take...
fair, Mel Kiper also names like 7 other teams in back of the Browns. But he lists the Browns first.
Yeah, but also, so it's two-parter. One, why would the Browns take Ashton Gentry with a top 3 pick, no matter how good he is? And two, why would you do it in this draft where you're probably going to find an impact
and
running back?
That's the big problem
through
I
the rest of the draft.
There's like 15 NFL running backs out of this draft class. You don't need to spend a first round pick
rather,
on Gentry. Love Gentry. You don't have to do
would you rather Ashton Gentry at 3 or Travion Henderson with one of your third rounders? Ooh, did I just talk you into something?
Not talk me into it, but I'm more interested in that development than I am Gentry at 3. Gentry at 3 sounds insane.
Sounds like somebody's becoming a bit of an anti-Gentite over there.
I love Gentry, though. No,
doesn't sound like
I love Gentry.
If you were a true Gentite, you would say, inject it into my veins no matter where it falls.
You know what Gentry did against Oregon? That Oregon team that Ohio State and Henderson will try to do things against tomorrow? A casual 190 yards and 25 carries and 3 tutties, okay?
Yeah, nobody's debating if he's good.
8 yards a pop and 3 touchdowns.
How much of a Gentite are you, really? You can't be 90% in and call yourself a full Gentite.
No, the whole meaning behind the Gentite conversation initially was the idea that the Browns and the Browns and Gentry would be linked together all throughout this draft class, and we have another case right here.
All right. Let's continue on. I don't know why I said all right like that. Quote of the year coming from, by the way, Jax, this is in the Y drive. I don't know if we picked this up, but I should probably tell you right now. Quote of the year coming from LSU tackle Will Campbell, who is slated to be a top carry the one 10 pick. Some are saying he might actually be the best tackle in the draft. Jax, can you find it? All right. Then we're not going to do that one. We'll do a different one here. Vanessa and I. Oh, wait, no, now we've got it. Here's the quote of the year from Will Campbell.
You give up one sack a game for 12 games, you're going to work at Amazon. Nothing wrong with that. But whenever we're here, this is what we're striving for. If you ever got the time, go back and watch my first play of college football. I got my face ran through, punished. And that's just what it is. I mean, to be thrown in the fire like this against good teams, these dudes are trying to get paid. All they got to do is get to the quarterback. One thing we live by in the O-line room, a D-lineman get one sack a game, and that's the only thing he can do. 12 games, he'll be a top 5 pick. You give up one sack a game for 12 games, you're going to work at Amazon.
It moved.
He sounds like Theo Vaughn.
I think, I'm sorry, that as a hog molly, that got my hog molly a roll in there. Holy God. Can we just take him now? I mean, if you trade down and you get that guy with a 5th pick and he just comes out like, all right, all right, all right. I mean, he just goes full McConaughey.
Did you like how he talked or did you like what he had to say?
Yes.
That he's aware that he's going to be working at Amazon if he doesn't pick up the pace?
Yeah, I love that. Are you kidding me? And then he said it like Matthew McConaughey.
No. That was Theo Vaughn.
No,
that was not McConaughey.
No, McConaughey. No. Theo Vaughn is a, like,
You play that first clip back, and then you tell me that's not Theo Von.
No, play
like the
again,
first sentence. Play
just,
the first,
play
when
the
he
first
goes,
sentence.
Amazon.
You
like,
give up one sack a game for 12 games. You're going to work at Amazon.
No, I mean, Jax.
That's McConaughey.
Jax, come on.
That is McConaughey.
Is Theo Von just doing a bad
swagger.
McConaughey impression? Is that all that is?
I think it's more McConaughey than it is Theo.
Well, I am shocked by this development.
Second opinion.
Definitely McConaughey.
All right, all right, ooh, all right. L-I-V-I-N. I don't do a good McConaughey, by the way.
We got three misinformed people around here is all I hear. That's all I
like
got.
Spoken like a true Gentite.
That's all I got out of this conversation.
Whatever the Will Campbell equivalent of a Gentite is, where there's a will, there's a way. That's not good. Strike that from the record.
Alabama was a 22.5-point favorite over Vanderbilt, a 14-point favorite over Oklahoma, and a 16.5-point favorite today against Michigan. The common thread there, Nick, is that they've lost all three of those games. Now, is this better for Michigan that they beat Ohio State and they beat Alabama, or is this more an indictment on Alabama?
They can't win when they're
two touchdown favorites.
Yeah, no, this is about Alabama. And everyone's trying to spin. I like Kalen DeBoer. I loved what he did everywhere else. His first year in Alabama is a massive failure. You didn't get to the playoffs. Then in the bowl game you did play, you got beat by an 8-win Michigan team.
I mean, there's no other way to look at it than a massive failure.
By the way, doesn't have a quarterback. Like, Alex Orji played one last game at Michigan because they needed a quarterback. They don't have a damn quarterback. And by the way, that dude is not good. Orji's great. Alex Orji, awful. The opposite of Orji's.
He's talking downtown.
Oh, yeah. But no, you agree? Like, this is a massive failure by Kalen DeBoer.
Yeah, I mean,
DeBoer.
Alabama fans should be melting down right now.
They were. I know. Marissa, who used to work with us, Marissa was melting down, especially at the end of the game when Michigan pulled away with that win. Like,
Saban in 17 years had three games where he lost his two touchdown favorites. DeBoer's done it in one season.
He is working from a deficit going into next year. And if you think they won't fire a coach after two disappointing years, you've not been paying attention to Alabama for too long. All right, guys, that is Quick Hits. When we get back, and take a look at this Ohio State game. All right, I'm getting there. This Ohio State game against Oregon and the path to a national championship on 92.3 The Fan.